Hi, my name is Rich Green. I'm the Iron Man Business Coach, and I have a very exciting podcast for you today. Joining me is Coach Carrie Duane, and I'll tell you just a little bit about her in just a second here. But before I do that, I want to go into peak performance principles. And we've covered these many times in the podcast, and one of the peak performance principles deals with your health. And I'm going to actually read from my book, The Ten Commandments of Peak Performance. And the commandment 8 says, "Thou shalt treat thy body as a sacred temple." Now I'm going to read this to set up the interview with Carrie, and so I hope you'll appreciate that. "Often overlooked, until we look in the mirror and see 20 extra pounds, is the attainment of a well-balanced life through optimal health. Proper nutrition, exercise, and rest are of paramount importance to becoming a peak performer. Health and exercise are often overlooked because they take discipline, hard work, and usually it's not something that you want to do, and it takes a second seat to work, family, and almost everything else. But you must take time to care for your body. There are several key reasons why health is an important factor to becoming a peak performer. First, you can't operate your top capabilities if you're dealing with debilitating health issues. You won't have the physical energy or mental acumen to face challenges without proper health. Secondly, once you've attained peak performer status, you'll need all your physical and mental skills just to maintain your status. And lastly, we want you to be able to enjoy the many benefits that come with being a peak performer and maintaining proper health, because this will ensure that you live long enough to do so." And with that opening, let me introduce the person I'm going to be interviewing today, Coach Carrie Duane. Let me tell you a little something about her before we get into the interview. She is a USAT Level 2 certified triathlon coach. And I should also tell you that she is my triathlon coach. She's a USA Masters swim coach. She's a certified group exercise instructor. She is a certified metabolic efficiency training specialist. I think we might hear some more about that. USA track and field level 1 coach, USA triathlon youth and junior coach. She is a member of the American Swimming Coaches Association. She's also a mother of 6 wonderful children. And she founded the El Dorado Hills Triathlon Club in 2008. And in 2015, she branched out to focus on private coaching, with an emphasis on helping people achieve their personal goals, from a beginning swimmer, cyclist, or runner to weight loss or bucket list physical dream. She works with clients of all backgrounds, ages, and abilities. Carrie completed her first endurance triathlon, which was the Louisville Ironman in 2008, and has gone on to compete in multiple endurance events and coach hundreds of athletes and everyday folks from around the world. She has the stated goal of helping people of all abilities achieve their personal best by focusing on overcoming limitations through movement, mindset, and fitness fun. She's passionate about making sure you're armed with everything necessary to complete your goals. She's a strong communicator with great motivational skills. I can tell you that firsthand. And without losing sight of enjoying the journey along the way, she's helping people to achieve great, great results. And I'm so proud to have you here today, Carrie, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, there's so many things we could talk about, because you and I have spent about 5 years together, haven't we?
Yep, 5 years. Wow. Yeah, probably, right?
And 5 years, and you, and I call you the maker of Ironman, because you've made Carrie coached me from, you know, one of those people that had some limitations, physical limitations, to just recently completing my 5th Ironman triathlon.
That's right.
And it's been a great journey.
And you are a completely different person today in terms of, I mean, I'm looking at, a physical specimen for sure. So
well,
congratulations
thanks.
To
thanks
you.
Thanks for saying so. And, you know, I obviously wouldn't happen without some good coaching. So I certainly appreciate that. The thing that I read earlier about taking care of your health, and I know it's so common, you see it all the time, people that have just gone on in their life, and all of a sudden they come to you and they realize one day that, golly gee, things aren't looking the way they should be looking.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the American story, actually, right now, kind of the condition, really, of our country and around the world. Even in your opening, I love that we're talking about peak performance, because I started out with a focus on the athlete, kind of, looking at an athlete's ability to perform at their peak. And really, my business has branched out to looking for peak performance in everybody and everyday folks, and including, the mom that gets up in the morning and her job for the day is to take care of three little people. How can she do that to the best of her ability, all the way to, world-class athletes? So this really pertains to everybody. Health comes first and everything else follows.
Right, right. Yeah, because if you don't have your health, as I said earlier, you might not be able to enjoy the things in life that maybe you worked really hard for.
Right, exactly.
And I know firsthand, I certainly want to be around to enjoy my kids and hopefully grandkids as one day as well.
Yeah.
So you work with all kinds of different people. So you work with the everyday individual who's just trying to live a healthier life to high-performance athletes and everything in between. And one of the things that I was very interested or would be very interested in exploring with you today is the issue of diet.
Yeah.
Diet seems to be such a big part of your health. I mean, obviously, exercise is important, but where does diet fit into that?
Yeah, so interesting word, diet, a little bit of a buzzword for a lot of people. I really do like to call it lifestyle. And as the lifestyle, what is it that you put in to fuel your body? And that is, if you want to, we'll use the word diet today. Nutrition would be a great word to replace diet with. But, when we speak of diet, most people, think about lack and what not to have, and there are all kinds of negativities associated with the word diet. So I like to look at it as nutrition. And yes, I would love to talk with you today about nutrition as it pertains to everyday living, everyday performance, and ultimately, of course, peak performance.
Great, great. So the issue of diet, and maybe I'll just use that word nutrition because that sounds like that's probably a better word than the buzzword that most people are using. I think when people think of diet, they think of something that's restrictive.
That's right. And that is, it automatically puts a negative connotation, and we want to put a positive influence on food as fuel and food as a good thing, taking in a good thing instead of restriction and limitation and no's and what can't and what not and all of that.
So one of the things that I'd love to delve a little bit deeper into is this program that you have, and I think you call it the 14-day challenge. Is that correct?
That's okay. Right.
So I did the 14-day challenge with you some time ago, and actually I did it multiple times over.
Right.
And have adopted the principles that you taught in that challenge, and it made an incredible difference in my life, an incredible difference as far as my mental clarity, my sleep at night, and my energy level. In fact, you know that I just finished an Ironman, and I had the best time that I've ever had. It's my fifth Ironman, and I was not completely exhausted at the end of my 13 and a half hours. I just felt like I could have gone more.
Wow.
And I really believe that's from the diet. And so I don't want to tell everybody that's listening what that diet is. I'd really like you to kind of describe what the 14-day challenge is, how you even came to up with this idea, and maybe share some experiences that some of your clients are getting.
Well, first, thank you very much for allowing me to come and share a little bit with you today. I want to talk a little bit about how I came to be a metabolic efficient certified coach.
Okay.
Years ago when I started coaching, and I'd even like to take it a step back and just kind of remind you, Rich, that I started coaching as I watched my husband, who at 35 years old was diagnosed with cancer. And my husband and I had both been big athletes, very active, very slender people in the world. And he was diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of cancer. And I watched him struggling to get in the pool. And just fast forward, I ended up helping him. People asked me if I could help them with their brother or their father or somebody that was also struggling with a health concern. And I came into everything from a swim kind of movement perspective. I went on to get coaching certified. And during that time, part of the coaching certification with USA Triathlon is a nutrition course, a nutrition training. And so I went through that and came out of the certification and was writing training plans for athletes. And I would write a training plan, and on 1 week, the athlete would do great. And the next week could be the exact same workout with ample amount of rest, the proper, you know, workout training plan written in terms of incremental increases and all that great stuff, and proper hydration, and the athlete would go out and do the workout and bomb it. And I learned early on, and I had a small group of athletes then, that it must be nutrition focused. We kind of tracked some things and took a look at what they were eating on, especially when they weren't working out. So I placed a call back to the Olympic nutritionist, registered dietitian at that time, a gentleman named Bob Sebahar, and flew to Colorado and spent some time becoming a metabolic efficiency certified coach, which is basically teaching your body to use its own fat for fuel. That is what metabolic efficiency is. How efficient is our metabolism as it pertains to fueling our bodies? So I came back, was super fired up. I worked with Bob in his lab in Colorado Springs, and in Denver, Colorado, and learned about testing and all kinds of things, but came back with an idea of what I was going to introduce to my athletes. And the simple concept of metabolic efficiency is not spiking the blood sugar. So you eat a Snickers bar and your blood sugar spikes, and then it drops an hour later, and now you have a piece of pizza and your blood sugar spikes, and then it drops, and you're on a blood sugar roller coaster. Your mood, if we catch it at the low end of the roller coaster, as well as your performance, if we catch it at the low end of that roller coaster, is suboptimal, to say the least. If we stabilize the blood sugar, and if you look at it kind of in a linear, you know, horizontal line, if we stabilize the blood sugar and have a consistent amount of energy, our mood is better, you know, our performance is better, health-wise, everything is better, from our risk for all kinds of diseases. From an athletic standpoint, it's GI distress, frequent feedings, drop in body fat, all kinds of stuff. So how do we utilize our fat for fuel? That's the question. The average diet, the American diet, is about 30 grams of carbohydrate to 1 gram of protein. We're in something called a metabolic syndrome. We're in a fog. All of us are in a fog. It would be the equivalent of, you know, taking a medication every day. We're funky and we're fogged, and it's based on this up and down blood sugar spike and dip. So I ask clients that I work with to take a look at that and to come down to at least 3, maybe even 2 grams of carbohydrate for each gram of protein. Well, so what does that look like? It looks like if you're non-vegetarian, it maybe looks like a piece of fish and the same amount or a little bit bigger in terms of size in maybe a little bit of a rice and a little bit of salad, something like that. So that has worked for a long time, stabilizing the blood sugar. We've watched blood results from people come in, and it's fabulous. We've watched people drop weight because our body wants to use fat for fuel. And if we keep putting in sugars, it just burns those. And then we put in more sugars and it burns those. If we stop putting in the sugar, it does a quick correction, takes about 3 to 7 days, and it goes back to doing what it always wants to do. Type 2 diabetics are the folks that put in sugar and it uses it. Then they put in more sugar and it uses it. All they need to do is cut out that sugar spike and let their body do what it wants to do.
So I heard you talk about the amount of carbohydrates to the amount of proteins, and then I just heard you use this word sugar. And there's so much that people are talking about sugar today, and I have a feeling that sounds like it's a real evil thing. Is sugar like a carbohydrate, or are they the same thing, or are you talking about different things here?
Yeah, there are amazing sugars in fruits and vegetables, and you can find natural sugar all over the place. The sugar that I'm talking about, and when I tell you a little bit about the 14-day challenge, it's added sugar. It's added sugar. It's either artificial sugar or adding cane sugar or corn syrup. I let my fruit ripen. There's nothing better than a big, juicy nectarine. And if I want to sweeten something, I might put some dates in it. So there are some ways to get the sugar taste without adding a bunch of sugar.
Mm, okay.
So backwards and then fast forward, that's been working for a long period of time. This is a personal story, but months ago, my daughter was getting married, and she asked me to go on a challenge with her. And she gave me kind of the outline of the challenge, and it was no sugar, no gluten, no dairy, no beans, no alcohol, certain nuts allowed, no potatoes, no corn. It was just outrageous. And, you know, as a full-time working mom, it was just really restrictive for me. So I asked her to name the three biggest threats, and it was no sugar, dairy, or gluten. And honestly, if you've already stabilized your blood sugar, that isn't an outrageous stretch.
Sure I understand this. No dairy,
uh-huh,
no sugar,
yep,
and no gluten.
Right.
Okay.
I'll speak to each of those individually, but what happened is I started on it, and within 3 days I woke up one morning and the sun was coming in my room, and my rings had caught the sunlight and they had come off in my sleep. And I've been married, you know, over 25 years. I've had a wedding ring on that whole time and it's never slipped off. And I kind of got up and ran to the mirror, and what ensued from then going forward, eating as much of the foods that I want to. So no caloric restriction. I dropped 13 pounds.
Wow.
And have never picked it up again. And so I have to believe that had to be 13 pounds of, you know, inflammation, at least a good portion of it was.
Okay, so you just used a new term that I hadn't heard before, inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What causes that, or where does that come from?
So the rings coming off my fingers, obviously my fingers don't have a lot of muscle. It really did throw me kind of into a tailspin. I was a big dairy gal, and dairy is metabolically efficient. So as I spoke to you earlier, you know, stabilizing the blood sugar, I may have sent one of my clients away saying, you know, have a piece of cheese and maybe a cracker, you know, and the cracker is carbohydrates and the cheese is predominantly protein. So I was about dairy, love Greek yogurt. Many Greek yogurts are have great ratios. So giving up the dairy was a new thing for me. And I just don't even know how to explain it other than I have lost that puffy feeling all over.
And dairy causes inflammation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Dairy has been linked. And gosh, you know, really I have lots to say about dairy, because dairy has been the biggest challenge for me. Again, I was eating metabolically, so I was eating plenty of dairy. I would have yogurt in the morning and maybe add some nuts to it. I had cheeses on things. I have suffered through my adult life with a condition called rosacea, and this is huge. It affects millions of people, and I took antibiotics for 10 years. I've done every topical treatment. I was even entered in a study recently. My doctor called and said, you know, we've tried everything and you're one of the healthiest people we know. We'd like to put you in this study. And that call was placed about 2 days before I started the challenge with my daughter. My rosacea is completely gone.
Wow.
After years and years and years. So lots of dairy, I think, might be linked to some skin conditions.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, and this is another fascinating thing, and we can talk. There's no money in what I'm saying. None at all. This is fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, meats, fish, tofu, some fun sauces, pretty clean eating. There's health right there.
Now, I've heard that phrase, clean eating. Mm-hmm. Is that what you would describe this?
Yes.
As? Okay.
I would describe this as a clean eating way to be. So I want to tell you a little about the challenge. I had success. I had some clients that were still sort of struggling to drop those last couple of pounds. Maybe they had dropped 30 and now they were down to the final 10 and they were just sort of hanging on. And I'm like, well, maybe they could lose a little bit of inflammation as well. And so I started with a 21-day challenge and I learned a lot about motivation. And the 14 days seems to be a great amount of time to stay motivated, stay focused, and yet glean the benefit of having the newfound energy. And it's funny, my current challenge is on day 10 right now. The energy levels are so fun to watch and hear from people, and they're really enjoying it. So,
well, I can certainly attest to that because, yeah. You know, I am now I'm a huge believer and I'm also a practicer of the nutritional practice. So
I want to mention one other thing, though, to folks listening to this. You know, you and I are great with it because we make a decision each time we eat. And that is all that this is. And everyone listening is going to have to make a decision today or tonight or the next time they go to eat something. If you look at this as year in, year out, restrictive diet, could never have a cupcake, could never have, you know, a piece of cheesecake, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need to make great decisions at each meal. And, you know, possibly tuck in the back of your head, oh, you know, maybe I'll have a treat one day. And I use the word treat. I love the word treat. I think people should look up what the word treat is, because we as Americans, and really just people in the world, I just heard Mexico, I think, became the number one country in obesity. We eat treats every day, and a treat is meant to be a treat. So
like that ice cream, that a bowl of ice cream that I used to like to have, is still okay once in a while as a treat.
That's right.
So I don't have to deny myself.
Yeah, and our bodies are prepared for that. You know, the blood sugar elevates a little bit and they go, oh, we got this. You can have that treat. But when they are constantly put in that state, it just it weakens our immune system and it makes us susceptible to just a whole host of problems. So, you know, don't look at this as I can't and I can never. Look at it as I can, I am, I will. And I'm gonna make a decision the next time I go to eat.
Yeah. Great. So you how many people are in this challenge at any particular time?
Well, over the last few months, I've had over 200 people in the challenges on the challenges, and just incredible results. I mean, if a person there have been kind of three outcomes, I'm gonna say. Yeah, three outcomes. The one is that they decide to log everything that they eat, maybe a little bit of calorie restriction if they're wanting to drop some weight, and they go gluten, dairy, and sugar-free for 14 days. That person usually loses around 6 pounds. It's amazing. Our bodies drop a lot of inflammation and a lot of water weight. You know, if you take a grain of rice and you drop it into a bucket of water, it expands. So all of those breads and big pastas and stuff hold on to some additional water. Or they can not log, eat as much as they want. And as long as they don't eat gluten, sugar, or dairy in 14 days, they usually drop anywhere from 3 to 4 pounds. I've had a couple of people that have kind of stayed the course and, you know, stayed close to the weight that they started at. And they either struggled greatly with the challenge, maybe weren't able to adhere to it strictly, or very much overate. You know, sugar cravings are powerful. Mm. Dairy cravings are powerful. And just yesterday on the current challenge, there was a gal who came into the forum and said, I just needed to eat nonstop all day yesterday. And it didn't matter if I didn't have sugar, gluten, or dairy, I didn't feel full. She was really struggling. And ultimately, she realized this morning she had been craving sugar.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So sugar is, it's like a drug. Yes. I guess, sort of, right?
Yeah, and I believe dairy is too. Mm. And there's lots of research on that. But I do lots and lots of reading. I believe these are pretty powerful drugs.
So the 14 days, are they able to kind of kick their craving for dairy and sugar, or does it take longer, or what?
Yeah, you know, what they definitely can kick the craving. You know, a lot of them will come on for another challenge, which is also nice because the challenges usually have a week in between them, and it gives them a week kind of left to their own devices and to see kind of where they need to tweak. I had a gal on her fourth challenge, a type 1 diabetic on her fourth challenge a couple weeks ago, and she's dropped 21 pounds by doing the challenges, kind of putting them together and then trying it on her own. They're quite inspiring. And the challenges in and of themselves are very interactive. I did a tour of my refrigerator, a tour of my pantry. We're posting amazing articles from the best research teams and doctors, and everybody is. They'll come up with something that they want to share with the group and they'll share it. They're also sharing their weights at the beginning and at the end of the challenge, as well as pictures of what they're eating and restaurants that they're going to and places that they can kind of order when eating out. So it really is a motivating group. But yeah, strongly recommend it.
Sounds like it's a pretty close-knit group. I mean, they're actually sharing their weights.
They are sharing their weights, and they are. They're from all over the country, but day before yesterday, somebody gone on and said, hey, I'm struggling. Can anybody give me some insight? And boom, there was all kinds of feedback. And yeah, so I really think it's when we do make changes, you know, together, it works great. Again, that every person has to make a choice with each meal.
This group, can you tell me a little bit more about how that works? Can you tell the listeners about, you know, are they supporting each other, or are they watching out for each other? How does that happen?
I've run the challenges differently. You know, they post things. So each day there's a focus, meaning the odd days of the challenge. So the first, the third, the fifth, the seventh, they post a meal picture. And they have to kind of make a comment on it. It's amazing. They'll see somebody else's. They'll want that recipe. Then it opens up a place where recipes are shared. On the other days, we've shared motivational sayings. Or we did a video of us working out. Or taking a walk with a dog. Or tomorrow is going to be your playlist. What music fires you up?
Okay.
All kinds of things.
So it's a real community.
It's a community for sure. Yeah. And I recommend that for anybody that's, you know, wanting to make a change and maybe struggling. The other thing is if you have kids at home, you know, the kids go to school, they get all that food that is just, you know, beige food. And they come home and, you know, mom puts spinach in front of them, and the moms in the group are learning how to be a little sneaky, how to get some cut up spinach to look like the little oregano in the pizza, in the spaghetti sauce, and that kind of thing. So just lots of great ideas.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. What do you do when you've got one family member who might be finally challenged and you've got the whole rest of the family that is eating the gray matter, as you know, I might put it.
Yeah, that is hard. And especially if the cook is not on the challenge. But remember, you know, these decisions and decisions to be your best self are your own decision. It's your own decision. And I feel successful if I go to somebody's house and they serve dinner and they have no idea that I am on any kind of dietary restriction or we can eat, you know. Yes, did they put feta cheese in the salad? Yeah, maybe they did. So maybe would you have to maybe pick around it a little bit? Or, you know, do you have to kind of move a sauce over off of something? This is lifestyle. This is not all or nothing. This is everything in moderation. Everything in moderation.
Got it. It's exciting stuff. I'm a testament to the success of it, and I was so excited about it. I wanted you to share this with our listeners. And I'll tell everybody that's listening that I went through the program. I still eat this way. I lost 18 pounds, and it just changed my life forever. So I thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else you want to you'd like to share with our listeners? And certainly, I would like to give you an opportunity to let them know how they can find out more about the challenge. If you have a website or an email or phone number or something like that.
Yeah. So, yes, there are a couple things. One is, don't wait. Again, you know, you'll go away from listening to this and you're going to have to make a decision on what to eat at your next meal. And I think the hardest thing that we're facing is everybody is going to do it tomorrow or the next day or after Labor Day weekend or after the Christmas holiday or whatever they celebrate. And then our lives go by and what we're faced with is a health crisis. And, Don't wait. Take what you're listening to right now and put it into action. You can find this challenge. You can email me at coachcarrieduane@gmail.com. Or this challenge, you can send in a friend request if you're on Facebook to the 14-day challenge, 14-day food challenge. And we're getting those from all over the country each day. You can also find me, I don't have a website. I'm so sorry. So much of my business is word of mouth, but, you can find me on Facebook as well. And I'd love to be able to share a little bit more about this and, just nutrition in general with anybody.
Great. Excellent. And for our listeners, I will post all that information on the page this podcast is displayed on, and you'll be able to get a hold of Carrie, that way as well.
Yeah,
well, Carrie, I'd really like to thank you again today for sharing what you had to share with listeners. And we won't call it diet from now on. We'll call it
nutrition.
Nutrition.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You thank you so much.
Thank you, Carrie. Until next time, this is the Ironman Business Coach signing out. Have a fantastic day.